chapter 8, chapter 74 and text number 6. Shri Shuka Uvacha Iti Yuktva Yagya Kale Vavre Yuktansa Ritvijaha Krishnanumoditaha Partho Brahmanan Brahmavadinaha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Iti Yuktva Yagya Kale Vavre Yuktansa Ritvijaha Krishnanumoditaha Partho Brahmanan Brahmavadinaha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Iti Yuktva Yagya Kale Vavre Yuktansa Ritvijaha Krishnanumoditaha Partho Brahmanan Brahmavadinaha. Matajis. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shukdev Goswami said, Iti, thus, Uktva, speaking, Yagye, appropriate for the sacrifice, Kale, at the time, Vavre, chose, Yuktan, suitable, Sah, he, Ritvijaha, sacrificial priests, Krishna, by Lord Krishna, Anumoditaha, sanctioned, Parthaha, is son of Pritha, Yudhishthir, Brahmanan, Brahmanas, Brahma, of the Vedas, Vadinaha, expert authority. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Shukadev Goswami said, having said this, King Yudhishthir waited until the proper time for the sacrifice was at hand. Then with Lord Krishna's permission, he selected suitable priests, all expert authorities on the Vedas, to execute the sacrifice. Purport. The great Bhagavatam commentator Srila Swami explains that the proper time for the sacrifice mentioned here was the spring.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale
Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Oh, seeking blessings from all the devotees so that I can speak something which will be satisfying to the heart of Krishna and all of you. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is known as the desire tree, is known as the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literatures. That means, the Vedic scriptures compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, they contain everything that a person requires for the fulfillment of all his desires. Because that's the purpose Vyasadeva compiled them for. And if they are the desire trees, Srimad Bhagavatam is known as the ripened fruit of the tree of all the Vedic literatures. In a tree, the most important part is the fruit, and even among the fruits, the most important part is the ripened fruit. So Srimad Bhagavatam is that part of the Vedic literature. That means it is the essence within the essence. Even among the fruits, it is the essence. And it was compiled by Srila Vyasadeva when he had attained absolute maturity in his spiritual life. When he was done with compiling all the other literatures, he compiled the Vedanta Sutra, he compiled the Upanishads, he compiled the Vedas, the Puranas, the Itihas, like Mahabharat. Still he was dissatisfied. And this dissatisfaction was observed by his guru, Srila Narad Muni. Because Vyasadeva was feeling that I have done so much. I have compiled the Vedas, which are meant for the gradual elevation of a person. And I have compiled, even for those people who are not very intelligent, I have compiled the Mahabharat. And I have also delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman in Vedanta Sutra. That means he compiled the essence of all the scriptures in the form of the sutras in a book called Vedanta Sutra. and still I am not feeling that satisfaction. And he himself actually realized that because he has not written about the spotless character of Krishna, therefore he is not satisfied. And at that moment Narad Muni appears. And Narad Muni actually chastised Vyasadeva. And he told him that in the name of spirituality, you have misguided people. You have given them concession. Because as it is, people are inclined towards fruitive activities. And you are giving them more concession. And since you are the authority, you wanted to say, so people will definitely accept you. And that is the reason you are not feeling satisfied. Therefore, in order to satisfy the self, you should write a literature, compile a literature which contains the glories of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, nothing else. And under that instruction, Vyasadeva actually compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. And just like, because Narad Muni literally called whatever Vyasadeva had done something like place of pilgrimage for the crows, he condemned it. Because Narad Muni is a pure devotee and they do not deviate any deviation, they do not tolerate any deviation from the path of pure bhakti. So he actually chastised Vyasadeva for writing about fruitive activities. Therefore he instructed him to write on the write about pure bhakti, to write about the activities and glories of the Supreme Lord. Under that instruction, because of when a person has received some chastisement and realizes his mistake, a person is very, very careful. So therefore we see in the Bhagavatam also, Vyasadeva is very careful right from the beginning. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called this literature as Amal Purana, spotless literature. Because all other scriptures, if you find, if you study, you may not arrive at the conclusion that who is the Supreme. Because they are meant for a different purpose, to gradually elevate the worshippers. But Vyasadeva, after he realized his mistake and got some chastisement from his guru, he wanted to be very, very careful right from the beginning. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Puran, because all the other literatures, they talk about various categories like demigods and fruitive activities, but Bhagavatam specifically talks about the root of all the categories, and that is Krishna. And Vyasadeva is very, very careful, very strong right from the beginning, and there is no confusion. Right from the very first line, he says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That means he is making it very clear. Very first line makes it very clear that I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, Supreme Lord Vasudev. And who is Vasudev? Son of Devaki and Vasudev, that is Krishna. So he is making it very clear that who is Bhagavan? That means he is son of Vasudev and Devaki, that is Krishna. And then he establishes Janmadi Yasya Yataha. That absolute truth is someone from whom everything emanates. Now he could have mentioned Janmadi Yasya Yataha first, and then maybe later clarified who is that absolute truth. But first he establishes who is the Supreme Lord, and then he talks about, and then he talks about his qualities. He is the one from whom everything emanates. So Vyasadeva is very, very clear. He doesn't want to beat around the bush anymore, because he has learnt his lesson. And the second verse is even more heavy. He says, Dharmaha Projjita Kaitavo Paramavatra Nirmat Saranam Satam. He says, Dharmaha Projjita Kaitavo. So Kaitav Dharma, and Prabhupada translates Kaitav Dharma as something covered by fruitive intentions. That means the spirituality which is covered by fruitive intentions. And Vyasadeva is saying this Srimad Bhagavatam absolutely kicks out any Kaitav Dharma. That means any fruitive activity. What he means is that whatever he has written so far before compiling Bhagavatam, he himself is kicking out all of that. That means whatever he has compiled as the Upanishads, the Vedas, the Puranas, the Itihas, because the Puranas are also talk about Krishna, but not all of them. They are also in different modes, different categories. So he, and since Vyasadeva, because there is a class of people, they are preaching that the Upanishads are the best and this literature is the best. But here Vyasadeva, who is the compiler of the Upanishads, the Vedas, because sometimes people ask devotees, have you studied Veda? But here Vyasadeva himself, who is the compiler of the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra also, and the Upanishads, he himself is saying that this Srimad Bhagavatam in the same verse is in itself sufficient for God realization. What is the need for any other literature? Kimva Parer Ishwarah. And therefore, since he is the compiler, he is the authority, he is the one who has compiled, so his opinion naturally carries the maximum weight. So Srila Vyasadeva is establishing, it is like, he is very now fanatic. If he could, he could have mentioned this second verse first and then the first verse later, but since it is the custom that before beginning anything you offer your obeisances to the Supreme Lord, so therefore he first offers obeisances to Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He establishes the truth and then he immediately talks about Dharma Prajjita Kaitavo. So that's Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana. And this is the ultimate scripture. There is the verse which says, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Shri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tad Rasamrita Triptasya Nanyad Syad Ratihi Kuchit. That means, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi. Veda means knowledge and Anta means the end of all knowledge. So Vedanta is the end of all knowledge. That means the conclusion of all knowledge is presented in the Vedanta Sutra. But Vedanta Sutra, if we try to study, it is very cryptic, very difficult to understand. So therefore, realizing that, Vyasadeva himself wrote a natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So that means Bhagavatam is the conclusion of all the conclusions also. So it is the highest literature. When Shukadeva Goswami, he was preparing to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, at that time all the demigods, they approached and they were carrying that pot of nectar which they had attained after hard labor. And they requested Shukadeva Goswami that we have an exchange offer. That this King Parikshit is very young, he's a warrior, so many people are dependent upon him, and he is the emperor of the planet. So we request you, you take this nectar and give this nectar to Shukadeva Goswami. And then he will continue to live, rule over the planet, and he will not die from the snake bite. And in exchange, give us this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam which you are going to narrate to Parikshit Maharaj. We want it. So devatas, the demigods, they are also devotees, but they are karma mishra devotees. That means they are not fully devotees also, but at the same time they are not fully non-devotees also. And they also understand that the amrit which they are drinking, it doesn't actually it doesn't actually make them immune against death. It is just simply prolonging their lifespan. And they understand that. And they also understand that it is only the nectar of Krishna Katha which will actually make them immortal. So they are fully aware of this fact. Like in Ramayana, this story comes that when Brahmaji is giving benedictions to Ravana, he has performed tapasya. Kumbhakarna has performed tapasya. Vibhishan has performed tapasya. Brahmaji first goes to Ravana. And Ravana, as usual, he asks for immortality. And Brahmaji says, even I am not immortal, because he also has his reply ready always whenever the demons ask for immortality. He says, even I am not immortal. How can I grant you immortality? Then Ravana tries to maneuver his way and he asks for immunity against literally everything except against human beings and the animals, because he thought they are too far below my dignity. It's an insult if I ask immunity against the humans and animals. Therefore the Lord appeared as a human being and he conquered Lanka with the help of animals, the monkeys. So Brahmaji said Tathastu. Then he went to Kumbhakarna. Before he was about to give benediction, the demigods appeared. They were invisible to everyone else. And they requested Brahmaji that this Kumbhakarna is already creating such havoc. He's killing demigods day and night. What if you give him more benedictions? He's already so powerful. So do something. Please save us. Brahmaji said, do not worry. So he summoned Mother Saraswati. And Saraswati ji was asked by Brahmaji to control the speech of Kumbhakarna when he is asked, he is about to ask a benediction. And when Brahmaji asked Kumbhakarna to request a benediction, at that time Kumbhakarna, he was about to ask, I want immortality. And somehow, because Mother Saraswati was sitting on his tongue, he said, I want to sleep. And that's how he just continued sleeping throughout the year and would wake up just for a day. And Brahmaji also, as soon as he said, I want sleep, he said, Tathastu, and he disappeared before he could ask for anything else. But before Brahmaji went to Kumbhakarna, he actually approached Vibhishan. So Ravana wanted immortality, Brahmaji said, I can't grant you. Kumbhakarna wanted to ask for it and it was not granted because they don't have the capacity. Vibhishan was requested to ask for a benediction. And Vibhishan simply asked, please bless me, Brahmaji, that I may always be engaged in the Lord's service. Please bless me that I may never forget him. Please bless me that I forever stay in the association of all of the Lord's devotees. He just asked for service to the Lord. And Brahmaji was very happy and he blessed Tathastu. And then before he departed, he spoke something very special. He said, Vibhishan, you are immortal. So Brahmaji, it's not that Brahmaji was granting him immortality, but Brahmaji also understood, because he's a devotee of the Lord, he's already immortal. So there is only this bhakti which can actually make a person immortal. And there are so many personalities who are Chiranjeev, who have a long lifespan. Vibhishan is one of them, he's still living. So Brahmaji left after blessing. So this is the special effect of the Krishna Katha, which the demigods are also aware of. And that's what they are asking for. But Shukadeva Goswami, he became really angry. He said, just get lost. He was very angry, furious. And he said, how dare you compare these two nectars? Is there a standard to measure it? Can there be a comparison between something mundane and something spiritual? You are just worried about increasing your lifespan. That means if the long lifespan is the goal, and there are so many trees also, there are so many animals also who live for thousands of years. He said, he basically meant that a short life of devotion is better than a long life devoid of devotion to Krishna. He said, it is basically like comparing a broken piece of glass to a rare diamond. And that's what Dhruva Maharaj also said. First he had material desires, and then when he had darshan of the Lord, he said, I do not want anything. I came looking for broken pieces of glass, and in exchange I have got this rare diamond. Therefore this Krishna Katha, the demigods were also very, very well aware of. So this is what Srimad Bhagavatam, which actually was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, and by somehow the unimaginable good fortune created by Srila Prabhupada and his followers, we also have an opportunity to speak about Krishna and to hear about Krishna. And this is basically the greatest wealth, because before Prabhupada actually came, nobody knew anything about Srimad Bhagavatam. Even now we meet different people, and many of them, majority of them, do not know the difference between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavat. Many people we meet. So it was actually Prabhupada who made Vrindavan famous all over the world, Mayapur famous, Krishna famous, not only around the world but within India also. Because people knew Krishna, but what is the true conception, or what is the true idea of God, Krishna as God, nobody knew. And it was Prabhupada who actually spread the message of Srimad Bhagavatam also all over the world. And there was a prediction in this regard 5000 years ago. So there comes a point when all the queens of Krishna, they are left behind, and Krishna has departed for the spiritual world. At that time, all the 16,000 queens of Krishna, 107 queens basically, they approach Mother Kalindi, who was one of the principal queens, and they asked her, just like we are the queens of Krishna, you are also a queen of Krishna, but we see we are dying in separation from Krishna, we are always unhappy, we are suffering, but you are always happy, you are always blissful, so how is that? And it is specifically mentioned that they asked it without any envy. They were not envious. They were genuinely asking. So Mother Kalindi, in a compassionate way, she spoke. She said, I'll tell you the secret. She said, smiling, that I am always serving Srimati Radharani, who is the soul of Krishna. And since she is always associating with Krishna, she is always with Krishna, and all the queens of Krishna, you should know, are expansions of Srimati Radharani. So we are parts and parcels of Radharani. And since I am always engaged in serving her, and she is always with Krishna, and I am her expansion, so I also get the same experience of being always with Krishna, in Krishna's association. Therefore, I never feel separation from Krishna. In fact, all of you also are never separated from Krishna, but you are miserable because this fact is not known to you. Therefore, only if you happen to meet Uddhavji someday, he will be able to relieve your pangs of separation, just like he did for the gopis of Vrindavan. He came when they were suffering in separation and he gave them the message of Bhagavatam. So somehow or the other, if you are able to get Krishna, Uddhavji's association in the future, you will also be relieved and you will again be reunited with your Krishna and enter his eternal pastimes. So all the queens, they became very happy and eager. They wanted to know how could they serve Radharani and how could they meet Uddhavji. So Kalindi ji, she directed them that Uddhavji actually went to Badrika Ashram. He's been staying there after Krishna departed. He heard Bhagavatam from Krishna, and then he also heard about the mysteries of Braj, Vrindavan. But also he's residing as a creeper near Govardhan on the banks of Kusum Sarovar. And you all of you must go to Kusum Sarovar if you want to have darshan of Uddhavji. And Uddhavji is the personification of Lord Krishna's festivals. When you hold a Naam Sankirtan on the banks of Kusum Sarovar, a nice festival with mridangas and kartals and other instruments, at that time Uddhavji will definitely appear, because this Naam Sankirtan is very, very dear to him. The glories of Krishna is very, very dear to him. And so they related all this to Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, along with Vajranab, Krishna's great grandson, they went to Kusum Sarovar and they held a festival. And as they were performing the kirtan, from the middle of all the creepers, Uddhavji appeared. And Uddhavji exactly looked like Krishna. He had a bluish complexion, he was wearing yellow dhoti and a garland of forest flowers, and he was constantly chanting Krishna's glories. And then everyone was completely satisfied having his darshan. Some of them fainted, some of them, when they came back to consciousness, they started worshipping Uddhavji and all their desires were fulfilled. So Uddhavji started speaking to Parikshit Maharaj that everyone in Vrindavan has been covered by Yoga Maya, so they have forgotten their true identities also. And those who are not devotees, they are covered by Mahamaya. Only when Krishna manifests in someone's heart, this curtain of Maya can be lifted. So, and that happens when Krishna personally comes down. and performs his pastimes. But that time has already ended. So therefore, now I will reveal to you the secret through which Krishna will again appear in people's heart. And he said that is Srimad Bhagavatam. When people hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna will reappear in their heart and lift the curtain of Maya. And therefore, in order to relieve these queens and Maharaj Vajrana from the pangs of separation from Krishna, I will now recite Srimad Bhagavatam according to the Vaishnava tradition for 1 month. But it will not be possible without your help. So the Parikshit Maharaj said, whatever you order, I will do that. So he said, wherever some auspicious activity is about to be performed, Kali definitely tries to create some impediment. That's the nature of Kali. So therefore, you must go all over the kingdom, all over. The entire world is your kingdom. And prevent Kali from entering this place. And I will recite Bhagavatam. But Parikshit Maharaj asked, what wrong have I done? Said, I also want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Why are you sending me away? Be merciful to me also. That time Uddhavji said, do not worry. You are the perfect candidate for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. No one is more qualified than you. Shukadeva Goswami, the greatest of all the sages, will personally come and speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And at that time, the entire land of Bharatvarsha will get an opportunity. All the people of Bharatvarsha who are otherwise inclined towards fruitive activities and have no desire and no interest in hearing Bhagavatam, they will also get an opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam by your mercy. And then later on, this Srimad Bhagavatam will be propagated throughout the world. So this is a prediction made by Uddhavji 5000 years ago, and this came to pass basically. It was a prediction about Srila Prabhupada. So it was Prabhupada who made it famous. Because nobody knew anything about Krishna. We are discussing the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, which is the face of Krishna. So nobody knew anything. All the intricacies of Krishna consciousness, it was Srila Prabhupada who introduced. Like once, Prithu Prabhu, who was here many years back, he gave an example that they were in a temple and they were performing their Mangalarti, morning sadhana. They were very happy serving the Lord. And then they heard that Prabhupada has introduced the worship of Tulsi Devi, and how Tulsi Devi is very dear to Krishna and she has the power to grant pure devotion to anyone. And it should be a part of the morning program. So they were now frantically looking for Tulsi. And one day a devotee actually found a Tulsi plant. And he brought her to the temple. And they happily engaged in serving her. After every nursing aarti, they would be singing Tulsi aarti and circumambulating, dancing around. So they were very happy. And suddenly the Tulsi plant started growing. And so they were puzzled, what is this? Then they read somewhere, oh, Prabhupada said, when the devotion is growing, the Tulsi plant also grows. That it's a sign, because that means your devotion is growing. And after some days, the Tulsi plant was actually touching the ceiling. So they were confused, what is this? And the local GBC visited. And they said, Maharaj, yeah, very nice, very nice. Your devotion is growing. That's why Tulsi is also growing. So after some days, in the morning program, an Indian gentleman came. And he saw and he attended the morning program. After Tulsi Aarti, he called one person. He said, why are you all dancing around a bamboo tree? So they were actually considering a bamboo tree to be Tulsi. Like Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he writes that, he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, I have been faithfully worshipping the Lord that you asked me to worship as per your instructions for the last 6 months. But may I know who is the Lord I am worshipping? He was worshipping Jagannath Baldev and Subhadra. So it was actually Prabhupada's contribution. He is the one who made Krishna famous and all the dhams famous. Because of him we are able to visit the dhams, hear Krishna Katha, have Kirtan. And therefore, we owe an immense gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for blessing us with this opportunity. today's verse, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, it is explained that he is an expert. We come to know from today's verse that he is an expert. He has chosen the perfect timing for the Rajasuya sacrifice, the perfect Brahmanas to perform the sacrifice, the most perfect personalities from all over the universe will be invited to worship the most perfect personality in the entire creation, that is Lord Krishna. So that is the expertise of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So one of the 26 qualities of a devotee is that he is an expert. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is an expert because he is a devotee. Not that because he is an expert, so he becomes a devotee. So expertise do not guarantee his bhakti. But somehow when somebody has bhakti in his heart, so gradually Krishna, seeing the sincerity, may grant the expertise also in a particular service. So therefore, these qualities automatically develop. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati yakinchana sarvair gunes tatra samasate sura. And when a person actually becomes a devotee of Krishna, and as his devotion grows, all the divine qualities automatically manifest in his personality. He doesn't have to make a separate endeavor. So the first priority of a devotee is to become Krishna conscious. That is the foundation. That can be then that can be used as a springboard for performing all other activities, for achieving everything else for Krishna. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada also writes in Bhagavatam, one line, I forgot the canto and the verse, where he writes that when a person is Krishna conscious, all his activities, both gross and subtle, become favorable. So it's a very simple statement but very deep, that the first priority is to become Krishna conscious, and then automatically all our activities will become favorable for Krishna service. And when a person is actually Krishna conscious, just by seeing him, people become devotees. People become Krishna conscious. He may not even need to speak anything. Like one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he became a devotee just by seeing Prabhupada performing some ordinary activity. Like Prabhupada was talking to someone, he was eating some fruit, and he was eating the fruit and throwing the seeds into the dustbin, and he would eat and he would throw like and it would go and make a perfect trajectory and fall into the dustbin. And just by seeing that again and again, Prabhupada was doing it, he was thinking, this is the only man in the universe who could do it. And he joined the movement. He became a devotee. Now, this is seemingly an ordinary activity, but because Prabhupada is saturated with Krishna consciousness, so automatically whatever he is doing is making people Krishna conscious. Sachinandan Maharaj writes in his book that when he was a young brahmachari, he was facing a lot of problems in the ashram, and he wanted to leave many years ago, and at that time, but he heard that Prabhupada is coming. So he thought, let me have darshan of Prabhupada at least once before I leave the movement. And he went to the airport, and he was also standing amid all the devotees, and Prabhupada came, and there was a roaring kirtan. Prabhupada is coming. He was heavily garlanded, and there was a passage left for Prabhupada to walk through. And Prabhupada is walking, and then Sachinandan Maharaj, as a young brahmachari, he was not standing in the front, he was behind many, many devotees, but he was able to see Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada just came right in front of him, Prabhupada just turned towards where Sachinandan Maharaj was standing, and he just gave a smile. And Maharaj said, that was it. I never left after that. That smile was enough to keep me in Krishna consciousness. So he wanted to leave, but just a smile made him Krishna conscious. Another very special incident, Bhavanand Prabhu, I think it's he narrated or he writes in one book, in Memories. Bhavanand Prabhu, before he joined ISKCON, he was like a very famous personality. He had a lot of offers coming his way from the Hollywood. And so once he was walking with Prabhupada when he had joined the movement, In California, in that area where all the Hollywood directors and actors and actresses have their bungalows, huge mansions. He was walking on a lawn with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was having his morning walk. And time came when he actually started looking around. And such big mansions, such prosperity, such lavishness. And he actually started getting distracted. He started feeling, maybe I should have waited for some more time. I shouldn't have joined so early. And he was getting distracted. At that time, Prabhupada just cleared his throat and he spat on the lawn. And Bhavananda Maharaj, just his eyes fell on that spit. And he immediately realized, oh, this is all like a spit. I don't want to be like this. Let me be with Prabhupada. So, even Prabhupada's spitting made him Krishna conscious. Brought him back to Krishna, the platform of Krishna consciousness. So this is what a person, a devotee's first priority is, that he wants to be Krishna conscious. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur always he used to say that the only problem that is that lack of Krishna consciousness. And when Prabhupada writes, when a person is Krishna conscious, all his activities, both gross and subtle, they become favorable. And it's very important, like sometimes people try for sense control, mind control and many other things. But there is a reference where Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna conquered his ignorance because of his friendship with Krishna. That means his absorption in Krishna. The Shad Goswamis, he translates the Shad Goswami Ashtakam, they conquered eating and sleeping because of their absorption in Krishna. So Jananevas Prabhu, many years back, he was here and he gave a class. He said, all these things, the mind control, sense control, everything will be accomplished, and your spiritual life, everything will be created. All you need to do is just absorb yourself in Krishna, absorb in hearing the holy name. And then everything else is taken care. So that's our path also, that it's a pravritti marg, that we focus on the positive. So the positive circle of influence becomes so big that gradually the negative circle becomes insignificant. And we cannot give up the lower taste unless we have a higher taste. So this is what is being talked when Prabhupada is saying become Krishna conscious. It is, he's talking about attaining that, achieving that higher taste. Automatically, the lower things become insignificant in our lives. So Krishna, we see in this chapter, before this chapter, Yudhishthira Maharaj, the scriptures mention that the Lord has nothing to do. But that means materially he has nothing to do. When scriptures talk about that the Lord has no form, that means he has no material form. He is nirguna, means he has no material active qualities, but he has unlimited spiritual qualities. So spiritually, Krishna has a lot of work to do. Like the devotees are always engaged in glorifying Krishna, and Krishna, ye yathamam prabhadante, is always engaged in glorifying his devotees. So therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to glorify Krishna, and the biggest impediment could have been Jarasandha. So Krishna, he didn't send his Sudarshan Chakra, he didn't send his armies. He personally went and through Bhima destroyed Jarasandha. It was like a menial service. Who goes to destroy the enemies? It's the soldier, the commander or the soldier, who is like a subservient to the king. But Krishna actually personally went and he killed, removed that impediment from Yudhishthira Maharaj's path. And therefore Yudhishthira Maharaj was overwhelmed. And in the chapter before this verse, he offers a lot of prayers to Krishna. He's overwhelmed. He's expressing his gratitude. And in modern times also, we see how Krishna glorified Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was always working hard to glorify Krishna, and in turn, Prabhupada was glorified. So that's a loving reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees. So, because the work that Prabhupada did, it's not that, because Prabhupada has a very very special position. Our greatest fortune is in this sampradaya is that we are connected to Prabhupada. That is our biggest fortune, because Prabhupada has a very very special position in the spiritual world. That's why he said, become 100% purified. The disciples were bewildered. He said, 75, 50, at least hold on to my dhoti. I have the key to the back door of Vaikuntha. That means Prabhupada can actually smuggle us into Vaikuntha. So, and who can make such a statement? Because Vaikuntha is not just a room. It's a spiritual planet where a person, once he goes, he never comes back. And it's not easy to enter Vaikuntha. But Prabhupada is saying, I will take you. And whatever Prabhupada did, it is not that the acharyas who came before Prabhupada, they were not competent enough to do it. They were all capable of doing it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Yuga avatar. He himself was capable. But somehow they came to this world, understood their roles perfectly, and performed them well, and then went back. But this special task of spreading the Yuga Dharma and this special glory was reserved for Srila Prabhupada. But this actually indicates the special position of Srila Prabhupada. And that it is our greatest fortune that we are connected to Prabhupada. And our sampradaya, whole sampradaya, also the most confidential associates of Krishna, they've appeared. And Prabhupada has promised, like Kadambakanand Maharaj, he once was here, he said, because we are connected to Prabhupada, that's our biggest qualification. He said, once we go back to the spiritual world, we will be at the gate of the spiritual world. And there will be doorkeepers standing. And one of them will say, no, you are not qualified to enter. You have a lot of karma left. You should go back. Go rot in the material world. You are not qualified. Then the other one will say, "Arey, but he is from Prabhupada's party." The person, "Oh, Prabhupada's party, let him go." So that's the position of Srila Prabhupada. And he has that potency, if we are just sincere and serious, as Radhanath Maharaj was always mentioning, has been mentioning, that if we are sincere, serious, and without any ulterior motive, then we can attain that ultimate perfection of life in this very life. So I'll end with this one story, because sometimes devotees are thinking whether I'm making some progress, whether whatever I'm doing is pleasing to Prabhupada, all the acharyas, or the guru. So Gaurang Prabhu once mentions that we may not realize it right now, who is who, but seeing the way the devotees are leaving this world, we can actually get some inspiration to continue. Because at the last moment also Krishna can reveal the whole spiritual world to us. Like one of very senior disciples of Prabhupada, Mool Prakriti Devi Mataji, who has written a very special book called Our Srila Prabhupada, A Friend to All, which contains accounts of Prabhupada's life before he actually started ISKCON. His years spent in Jhansi, Allahabad, Vrindavan, Delhi, and very sweet pastimes. She spent years writing, collecting interviews. So at the end of her life, she actually was diagnosed with cancer, and she was in tremendous pain, but whenever, because she was very attached to Prabhupada, whenever she would start speaking about Prabhupada, devotees would request her to tell them about Prabhupada, she would become animated, as if she had no cancer, no pain at all. She was deeply attached. It was like Prabhupada was her life and soul. So, during the last 15 days, as she was bedridden, and she was getting this constant vision, again and again. Not just a dream, it was a vision, and she was getting it again and again. That she is in the middle of a forest. She is walking on the path, which is the Sankarikhor path in Barsana. And there are so many people standing on the two sides who had helped her, encouraged her in Krishna consciousness throughout her life. And they are clapping and they are encouraging her to continue on the same path. And as she is walking, she comes out of that Sankarikhor, that area, and she sees a beautiful forest in front of her. And that forest is very sweet, and people are dancing, having festivals, they are looking very happy. very loving, very charming, and she also wants to enter that forest. She runs, and as she approaches the entrance, she sees the gate is locked, and she falls down. She almost faints. She starts crying. She wants to enter, but she is not able to enter because there is a big lock. And suddenly she looks in the sky. There is a personality, a devotee whom she had taken shelter of after Prabhupada left this planet, who is standing in the sky. She starts running towards him. So he stops her with one hand and indicates in the other direction, and indicating that you look in that direction, don't come to me. And she looks in the other direction, and from behind the groves she sees a very effulgent saffron clad short-sighted person appearing, and he is walking towards her, and he is carrying a cane in his hands. And as he comes closer, she realizes it's her Srila Prabhupada, and she's tears are cascading from her eyes, and she runs towards Prabhupada, and she falls at Prabhupada's feet. She said, "Prabhupada, I want to enter that forest, but I am not allowed. It is locked. It is such a sweet place. I also want to enter. It is locked. The gate is locked. It's not open. It's closed." So Prabhupada looked at her compassionately, and he smiled. He said, "My dear daughter, do not be scared. When the right time comes, I will come and open this gate for you." And then this vision she was getting constantly, every now and then it would disappear. She was relating it to her closest friends. And the day when she passed away, at that very moment, even Giriraj Maharaj was present, all the other devotees. When she left, just before she left and after she left for some time, everyone had the same realization. Everyone felt the presence of a very, very strong spiritual energy within the room. And everyone felt that Prabhupada was there. So everyone felt that Prabhupada had personally come to take her. Everyone had the same realization. So these are the things which actually, like Bhakti Charu Maharaj always says, whatever happens, never leave ISKCON. Whatever may happen. And in the end, we are sure to go back home, back to Godhead. So it is Srila Prabhupada's grace that we are all sitting here hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing Bhagavatam, and we owe an gratitude, immense gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. And somehow or the other, the only thing we need to do is take up this process seriously which he has given and share it with as many people as possible and make him happy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.